Okay. Can everybody see me and hear me? Great. So good afternoon. We are, for those who are just joining us, we are continuing our discussion about Jewish values and how they relate to the Holocaust. And for those of you who are giving tours or just studying or volunteering at the museum, this discussion about values and as it relates to the Holocaust can inform all of us in many different levels. The value that we're focusing on today is tmimut or tmimus, which is what we'll call it, which is the Yiddish pronunciation of this word. And we just watched, for those who are watching live online, we just watched a very short film on Roei Klein, which you can find on aish.com. Roei Klein was an Israeli commander who you just saw gave his life to save his fellow soldiers by jumping on a grenade. And I want to come back to him in a little bit to give us some perspective on this idea of tmimus. But I'm just curious, everybody here can unmute themselves if you'd like, or you can raise your hand and I can unmute you. How many of you have ever heard of this word tmimus that comes from the word tam, like that son at the Seder, not the Chacham, not the Rasha, not the Shein Yedish Elisha, but the Tam. So how would you characterize tmimus? Yeah, Nancy, hey, good afternoon. Great to see you. Renee, how are you?
Good, thank God.
Okay, so anybody want to translate for us? How would you translate the word tmimus? So Faye writes in here in the chat, tamim relates to being pure. Okay, what other words come to mind when you think of the concept of tmimus, being a tam? Humble, okay. What else? Simple. Simple. Okay, Jenny is writing in here, simple. Right, that I think is probably the most common translation of tmimus, which is the word tam means complete, wholesome, you could argue, simple. So we say we have many sons at our Seder table. We have these four sons. Mickey puts in related to the soul, not the physical. Okay. We have a bunch of children at our Seder table. We have the wise son, the wicked son, the one who doesn't know how to ask. And then we have the simple son. Simple, tmimus, wholesome. And the interesting thing, when we think about this quality or this son at the Seder table, I don't know how many of you ever imagined, most of the participants in this call are women, so it would be the four daughters, but how many of you have ever looked at that Seder chart of the four sons and said, you know, oh, I wish I was the simple son? No. No, not so many. Dina's shaking her head. She's like, no, no, not, that's not a big one. Everybody wants to be the Chacham, the wise kid. The Tam, it's almost like today there's some, almost maybe some cynicism. We somehow associate a Tam, a simple son, with being naive. So we say, Tom, he's tmimistic. He's very simple. He's naive. He doesn't really get the whole story. He's not sophisticated. And what perhaps we could think about today, when we think about the idea of tmimus, about being simple, is that there's actually something incredibly noble and profound about tmimus, about simplicity. And the reason why, perhaps, you'll decide when this discussion is over, why it's worth having this conversation about the Holocaust is because for so many years now, thank God, we've had discussions about the world before and the life before and Jews who lived before the war. And one characterization that we might have, not for everyone, of course, because that's an overgeneralization or certainly a stereotype, but many of these Jews who were murdered by the Germans and their collaborators, you could argue in many ways, many of them were tmimus. They were simple folk. They were simple Jews. They had a simple emuna pshut, a simple faith. And how do we look at that? Because for some, and the truth is, this was a major controversy in the early 1950s when the Israeli Knesset initiated Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura. Originally, it was meant to commemorate the victims, the martyrs, those who were killed in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, because that represented Gvura. We spoke about courage once earlier, and we talked about there are multiple ways of understanding Gvura. But the implication of that controversy and the reason why it was so sensitive, especially to Holocaust survivors, is that the people who fought, those were people who were heroes. And maybe the contrast to the people who fought are the simple folk who went, and you'll excuse the pejorative that people used, like lamb to the slaughter, like sheep to the slaughter. These simple folk. And it was a terrible insult. It was an indignity, a disgrace of those people. And what we're going to think about today, perhaps in a certain way of redeeming and lauding and enshrining and appreciating the simple folk who, yes, maybe went like sheep to the slaughter, have something so beautiful and so special that we can appreciate in our lives, but also appreciate as we share stories and perspectives going through the museum. The patriarch of the Jewish people, the first of the Jewish people, the nation builder, was given a commandment by God. Avram Avinu, Abraham was told by Hashem, Hishalech lefanai, walk before me, veheye samim. Walk before me and be tamim. Be simple. Abraham was not told, be a chacham, be a wise man. He wasn't told, be a tzaddik, be a righteous man. He was told, Hishalech lefanai, veheye tamim. He was told to be simple. How does the Torah describe our forefather Jacob? Jacob was Ish Tam, a simple man, Yoshev Ohalim. He sat in tents. Even Noach, who's not exactly the all-star of all of the Bible, he is referred to as Tzadik Tamim, which is a very significant contribution. If they called me in the Tanakh a Tam, I would be very happy about that. So it's not, in our tradition, it's not something to sneeze at to say, oh, the person was a simple person. By the way, one important caveat here, the word tam does not mean simplistic, it means simple, and there's an important distinction there. Avram Avinu is told, be simple, be a tam. So what is it, what is the deeper meaning of this idea of tmimistic that characterized many of European Jews? And many, by the way, many people, some of them who we know, many people who still have that quality today, probably some of the people in this gathering right now have a quality of tmimistic. And it's not naivete, and it's not being simplistic. And it's not just that somebody doesn't have any faults, right? Because tmimus, being tam, meaning complete, also relates to being wholesome, whole. So, for example, in the Beis Hamikdash, in the temple, if you offer a sacrifice, the verse, we're going to get to this later in the book of Vayikra, emphasizes that it has to be tam, it has to be complete and whole. So that's true, but that's like a very basic, shallow level. Okay, an animal that's missing a leg is not whole, it's not tam, it's called a bal mum, it has a blemish. But what's the deep meaning of this? What does it mean for a person to be a tam? So this is where we're going to turn to this gibor, this giant in modern Jewish history, and that is Roei Klein. So for those who saw the first film, and you can watch it afterwards, I can even post it on the chat if I can figure out how to do that. This individual, you see his picture here in this book, Roei Klein, who in the summer of 2006 sacrificed his life by jumping on the grenade and saving his fellow soldiers, leaving behind a wife and three children. Roei Klein was a hero on many levels. He was a very unusual man. He was a gibor, a courageous warrior, both inside and outside. And he was a member of a yeshiva community. He wasn't just an Israeli military giant. He was also a spiritual giant. He was part of a mechina in a small yeshuv called Eli. If anybody has ever traveled to this place, it's in the Shomron. It's a beautiful settlement with a Jewish school there called Bnei David. And in this Bnei David Academy, it's a yeshiva for guys who are going to go to the army. So Roei Klein learned there before he was married. After he was married, he became so enmeshed in the learning there that it became a very important part of his life. And one of the rabbis, his name is Rabbi Eliezer Castiel. Rav Castiel, after the death of Roei, got together with a group of his family members and friends and had a series of classes in memory of Roei based on Roei's life's values, but also based on his notebooks. Because Rav Castiel had been a learning partner, a chavrusa of Roei, even though Roei was his student, but they were also a chavrusa pairs. And this is actually a picture, if you could see it on the screen, this is a Xerox copy of some of the handwritten notes, the personal notes that Roei Klein had written on the thoughts of their chavrusa. Many of them had been on studies of the Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Lowe, who is a very fundamental 17th century Jewish thinker and rabbinic personality. So what Rav Castiel did is he gave a series of lectures, group discussions on the midos, on the qualities of Roei Klein, each session focusing on a different aspect of Jewish values with input from thoughts that he had heard from Roei, Hashem Yikom Domo Zchus Yagen Aleinu, but also using Roei's writings. So now you have a little bit of a window into how I got the idea for this series in the first place. The thought of looking at this year's sequence of lectures as a sequence of values actually came from this book. The secret's out now. I mean, it only took till May to tell you. The book is called Bechol Levavecha, With All of Your Heart, Tzohar, A Window, Lemidosov, to the Qualities of Rasan, which is some military ranking. I don't know the equivalent, major, sergeant, something or other, in the Israeli army, of Roei Klein, Hashem Yikom Damo. So the last of all of the chapters in this volume, in Hebrew, is the chapter Tmimus, wholesomeness, simplicity. And Roei writes here in his own journal, which Rav Castiel includes in the volume, Tmimus, and for those who see it on the screen in the chat, Vivian Block picked up the idea before we even said it. Roei writes in his notes on the Maharal, he says, Tmimus is Shleimus mitzad megamas hachayim. It is wholeness, wholesomeness, simplicity, as it relates to the goal of life. And here's the key line, because he quotes a verse, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, in Psalms, Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nefesh. The Torah, the Jewish learning that we do, that we're learning right now together, it's Meshivas Nefesh. It settles the soul. Why? Because the Torah is Tamimus. Torah Hashem Tamima. Torah is simple, is wholesome. What does that mean? He says, Kolomar, says Roei, Le'umas matzav, unlike a situation, bo adam nimtza betstiros ube conflictim bein kochos, unlike a circumstance where someone feels bifurcated and conflicted internally with multiple priorities and multiple values, A person who lives a life of tamimus lives with a simplicity, simple meaning, not complicated, not conflicted. There's no distinction between different segments of their personality, and there's no difference between the inside of their life and the outside of their life. It's the same. It is, in another Maharal word, pashut. Simple means, it's like a sentence. I don't know how many people here are grammarians, but you can have a simple sentence, if I'm not mistaken, although if my writing professor was listening closely, they would make sure I get this right. A simple sentence has, generally speaking, one noun and one verb. That's it. And that's going to carry you through the whole sentence, even if the sentence is very long. It simple means it doesn't have multiple segments. A compound sentence is two distinct phrases, especially, I see one or two of the participants on this call are currently homeschooling children. So if for those who are teaching their kids or grandchildren English right now, right, a compound sentence is going to be separated by an and with a comma. My father once asked me when I was in college majoring in history, he said, how are you going to make a living with this? So you should tell him, if you see him, that after all these years, 20 years later, I finally did something with that education. A compound sentence is when you take two separate clauses that are independent, that could stand on their own, and you squish them together. So you can have, you know, the cat ate the food and the dog went to sleep. But they have nothing to do with each other. And sometimes they're even in conflict with each other. As opposed to a simple sentence is one noun and one verb, and it goes right through. Tmimus means to be simple. Roi, Hashem Yikom Domo says to us, it means to lead a life which is uncomplicated. It doesn't mean that all of life doesn't have complications, but it means from an internal values-based perspective, a person, it's transparency, but it's that a person has a consistent megamat hachayim, a consistent set of values that are uncomplicated by the circumstance. A person who is tamimus, who's simple, will lead that simple life in every circumstance, whether they're in their synagogue, whether they're in a ghetto, whether they're in public or they're in private. Tamimus says, this is who I am. This is where I am. And it's not complicated. It's not conflicted. It's transparent. It's through both internal and external, but it also relates to the person's mindset. So at the night of the Seder, when we look at that simple son, we actually say, wow, there's something beautiful about that. Renee's writing in, what you see is what you get. Where does that come from? It comes from somebody who's uncomplicated. They're not making so many calculations. Well, I'm presenting myself like this, I'm presenting myself like that. So often we make so many, in Yiddish also, another Yiddish word, it comes from Hebrew, cheshbonus, so many calculations. Well, I'm presenting myself on the screen. Well, where's my camera angle? This is a lot of what's going on now. A lot of these are breaking down because, you know, yes, I'm projecting something on my screen, but sometimes when I'm up having our Sunday morning program and I'm in the living room, so one of my kids comes in, and that's what it is. Now, you know, there are different layers here, but the idea of just being simple, not having so many calculations, not having so many cheshbonos. Well, what is this person going to say? What is that person going to say? What is it going to look like? What is it going to look like to this? What's going to look? The Tom, the person who's simple, says, I have it very simple. These are my values. And that's it. And it doesn't matter where I am or who's looking at me or what I'm being asked about. I'm simple. That's perhaps why we look at this Tom and we say he's the contrast to the Chacham, to the wise son. Because both the wise son and the tam could be righteous. They could be a tzaddik. The opposite of a chacham, of somebody who has so many calculations, so much knowledge, so many proofs, so many questions, so many issues, is the tam who says, I don't have so many questions. I wake up in the morning, I know there's a God. My parents know there's a God. My grandparents know there's a God. So there's a God. And that is a very beautiful and a very high level. It's not naivete. It's a simplicity and a wholesomeness and just being at peace with yourself and living with God in the moment. And maybe that's why in the Chumash, this concept of tmimus, of being wholesome and simple, is also associated and contrasted with people who would seek out necromancers, people who would be soothsayers and fortune tellers. Because someone who's a chacham, who says, I have to have an answer to this question and answer that, and have so many questions, what's going to be tomorrow, what's going to be next week, what's going to be in the market, what's going to be with my, you know, the chacham has so many questions that may lead him to knock down the door of somebody who is a soothsayer or some kind of fortune teller or a palm reader. And the Torah says, if you're living with God, if you're living a simple, values-based life, what are you worried about next week for? What are you worried about next year for? Don't worry about so much. Worry about Hayom. Worry about today. What's on my agenda for today? Where is God in my life today? Simple. It's such an amazing thing. And I want to mention her now because I think if someone were to ask me, how is it that my grandmother, Allah Shalom, my paternal grandmother, my Babi, she lived a very long life. She remembered the Germans marching out. Her family was Polish, but they moved to Germany. Her mother was one of five sisters, and they moved to Germany, and they were living in Germany for business reasons, and then they ran away. They were in Holland, in Scheveningen for a while, then they came to America. She lived well into her 90s. And I wondered, like, how did she live such a long life? And for her, I know for sure the secret was tmimus. She was one of the most wholesome and simple people I ever met. She never worried about next week or next year, or she didn't have so many questions about what this and why that. She just lived a simple life. She lived a beautiful, simple life. You know, I think some days my blood pressure, I'm so worked up about this issue and that issue, and I'm juggling a thousand things. She would look at me and she would be like, you know, why do you have to leave 10 seconds before the bus is going to leave from the Tachana Merkazit, the central bus station? Do me a favor. Could you just leave a half hour early and walk there like a mensch instead of giving me, you know, a heart attack? Because to her, why are you trying to overcomplicate your life? She would sit in the living room. She had a big Tehillim that she could read with the big letters. You know what I'm talking about? Like the big size letters. She lived a beautiful, simple life. She came from that world where simplicity was noble. You know, today, simplicity is almost like a bad word because, you know, if you're not multitasking, if you're not doing 10 things, if you're not crushing your calendar with so much stuff, simpleton. If you don't have like all the answers and all the angles, if you're not anticipating and asking and like, but there's something so beautiful. And Hashem says to Avram, he says, do me a favor, walk with me and just be simple. Be a poshut yid, you would say in Yiddish. Be a plain Jew. Just be a Jew. Don't worry so much. Don't worry about all of God's calculations. And this tmimus is so important, especially in difficult times. Because a person who has questions, if they can't live with questions, they're not going to be able to maintain their faith. Because so many of the questions that we have in life go without answers. So many of the things that we go through, especially in the challenging times that we're in now, I don't know anybody who has good answers as why God would let a pandemic loose in the year 2020. I don't know. If anybody tells you they have a good answer, they're either a prophet, and then you should find out if they're really a prophet, what does that mean? Or they're pulling your leg. Who would know? What are you, God's, you know, God's accountant? How do we know why exactly things happen in this world, in this life? We have so many questions. So Hashem says to Avram, just be with me. And even if you don't have the answers, let's be together. Let's just be together. His halech lefanai ve'ye tamim. Now we leave the chacham, we leave the child who has all the answers. We say, you know what? Sometimes we just need to be the tam. We need to be the simple son. If you were to ask, I guarantee it. What do I know? But I guarantee if you were to ask many Jews who are taking to an Umjumplatz or some other ravine somewhere and you were to ask them, Nu, what's the question? What are you asking right now? What's the answer? They would say, in Yiddish, they would say, I don't know. I don't have good answers. But I have my emuna pshuta. I have my simple life. I was born in a loving family where God was at our Shabbos table, where God was at my yontif table. I'm with God. And even if it means those people, they went with God into the gas chambers and they got pulled out by the Sonder Commando, they lived with God in the moment. They lived a life of tmimus. And for many, tmimus is so, so important. And that tmimus takes us to one deeper level, right? If the first level of tmimus is that it's uncomplicated, and the second level of tmimus is that it means that a person has this consistency in their life, this connection that is uncomplicated because it's just the simple faith, the basic living in the moment with God. It's almost like a mindfulness practice. It's a presence element, living in the presence. It even delves even deeper because the Maharal explains, Rav Yudalo, that same Maharal that was studied by Roei Klein, you know what the Maharal says in his comments on tmimus? He says, somebody who has tmimus, it's somebody who goes and does the right thing because it's natural to them. That's the highest level of tmimus. That the choices that I make to do the right thing become second nature. For the Chacham has to analyze. He has to say, well, what's the right call in this situation? What's the right call? What are the implications? What are the back and forth? But you know what's even higher than the Chacham? The person who makes the right call, who does the ethical, moral, right thing to do, because that's in their gut, because that's in their neshama. That's the Tam. The Tam is the person who knows what's right because they are so in touch with God, because they have such a strong moral fabric that it's in their kishkas, that they don't need a lecture to tell them right from wrong, because it's just ingrained within them. They have refined their character to the point where they know intuitively what is the right thing in a given circumstance. So Vivian says, righteous among the nations. So again, that's another good example of where it could come out. It could be righteous of nations, or even, you know, in within the Jewish community, wherever you're going to find that, where we find simplicity, it's so beautiful now. Being simple says, I do the right thing because it's just the right thing. And not only that, the people who do that on the highest level, it's something that is natural to them. It's what, there was a great thinker. He lived in the 20th century. He spent most of his time in Manchester in England. His name was Rav Eliyahu Dessler. He wrote a book, a 5-volume set called Michtav Me'Eliyahu, where it's translated in English as Strive for Truth. He says a tamim is somebody who raised themselves up, whereby to them the truth is second nature. Somebody who's so wholesome is that it comes natural to them to do the right thing. And now we circle back to this point where we started, and we said, people who are tumim, who are tumimim, they're simple. Do we look down on them? Well, they're unsophisticated. They're simple folk. Yeah, but you know what? Very often those people who are quote unquote unsophisticated and simple folk, they don't need to be told why to do the right thing or how to do the right thing. They just do the right thing. They have, now, and by the way, you see from this line from Rav Dessler, that simplicity, although some of us may be predisposed to it, it's something we can work on. It's not a natural gift, although obviously some people are predisposed to it, but it's something that we can develop in ourselves. And it's a value, the same way that we've talked about modesty and we need to nurture modesty, and we've talked about courage and we need to nurture courage and humility and generosity, all values. This is another value that we need to nurture. We need to raise ourselves up. Maybe that means we need to have conversations about what it means to be simple and develop a simple life. Maybe we need to journal Maybe we need to look at role models of people who just, they've refined their character. And I look at it for myself. How do I get to that level of tmimus? You know, how do we make sure that we're nurturing this value of just being spiritual at our core? Because that's where it comes from. It comes from that inner tranquility of feeling that God is part of my life. I'm in this journey together with him. We're doing just like Avraham Avinu. We have questions, but we're just doing that life of spirituality as it comes. Nancy writes in, I think the sun was raised up a notch or two. Absolutely. Next year at the Seder, nobody should make fun of the Tom. Exactly. Right? In this respect, yes, of course, sages are very important and scholars are very important and rabbis and wise people, they're very important. But in many respects, the sun, who is the simple sun, each one of us, if we can reach that level of simple, is much greater than the wise. You know, think about that. Think about the people who are inspiring us, who are leading those lives. And now you flip it back and reflect on it in terms of the Shoah. These people who were quote unquote sheep to the slaughter, is that a pejorative? Or the fact that they had a life of simplicity, of equanimity, where they were happy with the lot that God gave them is so beautiful and it's refreshing. Myrna and Shayla writing in that simpleton is a critical term. Exactly. In society today, to be a simpleton might be critical, but now what we're saying is that a simple aspect of life, tmimistic, is something that's beautiful, right? To look at these Jews who didn't freak out, who they walked and said Shema and were whole with the life that God had given for them. Because for most of them, the whole notion of rebelling, aside from the fact that the Germans were so smart, they were ingenious in their duplicity of tricking Jews in the various ways in the deception process that you're all familiar with. But even if they weren't deceived, there was no way that your average Jews in a shtetl somewhere in a suburb of Lemberg or Krakow or Berdichev, they had no match. There was nothing to talk about. But that's not the point. The point is that we can look to them and say so many of these Jews, they lived a simple life, a life of tmimus. You know, how many of us wouldn't need blood pressure medicine if we just lived that kind of life? Right? How many of us would be so much more spiritually calm? Would we find that meaning? Would we be able to navigate the highs and lows of life if we just had their quality of tmimus? To be simple is to be heroic in that respect. That tmimus, says the Maharal, goes back all the way to Adam and Eve. He has an interesting line where he says that Nancy is writing in, that's why meditation is such a big thing, to be in the present, about the presence exactly of that simplicity. Did the Tom say Gamze Yavor? Maybe. A friend, Susan's writing in here. Friend asks, I don't believe that the people in the gas chambers didn't question, why me? Some of them did, but many of them did not. Many of them did not. And we know that from people who watch them go. And even if they ask, and sometimes we ask, why me? The answer to why me sometimes is the answer of tamim tiyeh. But just one more reflection of this that some of you are probably familiar with, because the Maharal says something interesting, that tmimus, this idea of simplicity, is the opposite of death. Simplicity is the opposite of death. What's the origin of death? Well, death began when Adam and Eve ate from the tree. Why did they eat from the tree? Because a snake came along and started inquisiting and saying, well, wait a second. Well, did he say, you ever have a smart guy ask you, And sometimes our children will do this, or our grandchildren. Well, he said, don't go in the garage. Well, what if I put one foot in the garage? Can I put one foot in the garage? What if I put both feet in the garage, but I have my nose, and my nose is still in the house? So the snake says to them, did he say you can't eat it? Maybe you could take one bite. You know, people have so much chacham. They're so wise. They have all the questions, all the answers. You know what Adam and Chava should have said? They should have said, and you'll excuse my language, shut up! I'm not dealing with your questions, your answers. If you sometimes you get so in the weeds with the questions and the answers, you end up eating from the tree. They should have said, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is God said, don't eat from this tree. We have a million other trees to eat from, and we're going to eat from the other trees and leave me alone. Don't ask so many questions. And the people who live those simple lives, sometimes they have such a tranquility. That's what Nancy was talking about, that equanimity. So Susan's anonymous friend says that she's not so blind acceptance is good. We're not saying, that's exactly what we're saying, that blind acceptance is not a low level. What we're saying is that blind acceptance is a high level of mindfulness, right? A person has to raise themselves up to say, I know what's going on in the world. I'm aware, I'm navigating, I'm dealing, but I'm coming at it in a deeper place. I'm coming at it from a place where I'm together with God. And that place of being with God can carry a person through those challenges. It's not blind acceptance. It's being open, having our eyes open to all of the things going on, but a sense of equanimity, right? We said before that Roei Klein, he says that it's not living with conflicts, right? The person who has this deep-seated, natural, cultivated faith is able to navigate the different circumstances because they keep coming back to that same core value, to God. It's that simplicity, not simplistic, but being simple, that carries the person through all the different circumstances. It's a higher level. It's not saying, I don't know, but it's not just saying, I don't know, but I believe in God. It's saying that my belief in God is so deep rooted and so present that every circumstance that I go through, it's me and God. And whatever questions I contend with, I can always come back to that place of simplicity, of me and God. And it's interesting, who would you say, and I'm going to do one little exercise now, who would you say is, I'm going to unmute everybody, so don't all yell at once. Now everybody's unmuted. Who would you say in their life cycle most typifies this idea of simplicity? And what stage in your life?
Later, senior.
A baby.
A child, a baby. All right, everybody's back muted now. A child. It's interesting that if you were to ask somebody who is the most sophisticated rabbinic family in the last 150 years, you would say Soloveitchik, for sure. By the way, and I see Shale is smiling over there. He probably would have guessed that. Even I think there was a guy by the name of Peter Salovey who was at a period of time, maybe still is, the president of Yale. Soloveitchik is from Soloveitchik, I'm just saying. So it cuts across, not just rabbis. So Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk was maybe the most famous Jewish intellectual from a Talmudic standpoint. And his grandson, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, said, when it came to faith, my grandfather was like a child. He had a childlike faith. Not childish, childlike. He had a certain, and that's what I see here in the chat. Renee is putting in, yes, it definitely relates to Emuna. It is about Emuna, exactly that. So it's a childlike faith. The word Emuna comes from the word aim, from the word mother. It's about a feeling. It's not intellectual. Emuna is not a lecture. It's not a cognitive process. It's a feeling. It's very much related to what Nancy was talking about before in terms of mindfulness, of perspective. So you take a child or a person who's a tam, and they say to you, look, I can't answer all of your questions, but I have a feeling that God is with me in my life. Is that person naive? They're not naive. They're very well aware of all the evils in the world, all the challenges in the world. But the way they navigate it is through a simple path, an uncomplicated path, a path that's not distinguishing between internal and external. It's one that has megamat hachayim, a goal of life. It has a value of godliness that's deep-rooted, wholesomeness. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to end the lecture portion of this discussion, and I'm going to take 5 minutes. Get ready. I'm about to move all of you into two different breakout rooms. I'm going to assign you to two different rooms. You cannot leave. Well, you can leave if you leave the meeting. But I'm going to assign you in two rooms, or maybe the truth is I'll split it up into three rooms so that everybody has a little more opportunity to talk. I'm going to assign you into three rooms, and I'm going to ask you to take 4 minutes to talk among yourselves and come up with an example or an expression of where tmimus, this idea of simplicity, can be expressed in the museum. You do not get to choose who's going into your room because it's going to be automatically set up. So if you're stuck with somebody who you don't like, you're going to start liking them now. So I'm going to set you, this is randomly computerized. Make sure everyone, I hope you brushed your teeth today because you're going to be talking now. You're going to be unmuted. I'm sending you now to opening all these rooms.
Maybe the others didn't get the message.
Yeah, we're back. Rabbi, can you hear us? No, I guess.
We can't hear you.
Theirs is closing automatically. Everyone's back now. Worked! Amazing!
It is. It's great.
Amazing when the technology works. All right. So welcome back, everybody. So maybe just in the last couple minutes, if we could have one person from each group share with us an example of where you saw or you wanted to express Tamimus, thinking about it in the museum. Who wants to go first? You could just raise your hand. I'll unmute you. Okay.
One example might be Captain Schroeder of the St. Louis. That was suggested. Another might be in the Gallery of the Rescuers or the Righteous. Another might be in the opening gallery, Lives, you know, Life Before Nazism, when Jews were just living their life, even though they weren't all the same type of personality or people, that probably existed among that group of people before the war.
For sure. I would say that's a characteristic of many of those Jews before the war. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Who from another group wants to chime in? Okay. Susan, you're right there. You're okay. On.
People said some of the same things. Certainly in Righteous Among the Nations, those people could be seen as Tom. And also someone said the mosaic of victims, how the Nazis, and Mickey, you could chime in here. How the Nazis didn't see, I don't know exactly what that means. Mickey, can you clarify that? Mickey?
Susan talked about, mindfulness and wholesomeness when you're dealing with other people, because we're all created in the image of God, which is a concept that you've brought up a lot, Rabbi Bran, but at Mosaic of Victims, because that was the idea of all of us being created in the image of God is like juxtaposed or opposite of the way the Nazis saw it there. So it's not an example of wholesomeness, but it's an example of the opposite of wholesomeness.
Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, one more. Susan, you're there?
Yeah. One more quickly. Mickey reminded me. My first idea was on a tour when kids are being, you know, we wouldn't say bad, but being, you know, non-attentive or obnoxious.
How about non-compliant?
Thank you. Thank you. And you have a chaperone that might be tricky, just to take a moment and breathe and just simply see that person as a person, as a, you know, everyone's created in God's image and they have issues and not be reactive.
Beautiful.
And that was my idea.
That's a practical one. Sure.
Be Tom.
Thank you. Ina, last one. What do you want to put in here? I hear you.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, okay. No, I wanted to participate. Go ahead. I wanted to participate in my breakout group and I made a mistake, so I don't have anything right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
No worries. Anyone from that last group? Do we have the third group yet?
Ina's group.
Yeah, go ahead, Maury.
No, I wasn't. I was just trying to get somebody.
Anyone else want to add? All right. So I think, first of all, I'm glad that this exercise worked. I'm glad everybody came. I'm glad we got to see each other and talk together. And I'm glad that we got to rescue the image of the Tam, of the simple son, of the Poshet Yid, the plain Jew from Europe. I'm looking forward to the opportunities to continue to stay in touch with everybody. I want to thank you all for coming. I also want to conclude with two last Mazel Tovs. First of all, Mazel Tov to Lori Haston on the birth of a granddaughter, to Joseph and Michelle, who are living in their house. She assured me that Bernard did not deliver the baby at home. They were safely
he did not.
In hospital, although I think
Robinson Hospital. Thank you.
He totally could have. And happy birthday to Mickey Schreiber. Ad Mea Ve'esrim. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Have a great day. Stay safe. Stay well. Look forward to staying in touch. Thank you all for coming. God bless you. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.